This is the sermon podcast of Jim Parsons, the senior pastor at Milford Hills United Methodist Church. For more information about our congregation, visit us at milfordhillsumc.org. Thank you for listening, and peace be with you.
Let us continue to stand now for the reading of the Word of God today. Reading two different sections. The first one is Matthew 5, verse 48, and then 2 Corinthians 5. 18 through 21. So hear first from the Gospel of Matthew. It simply says, "Therefore, just as your heavenly Father is complete in showing you and showing love to everyone, so also you must be complete." And then in Paul's letter in 2 Corinthians, starting in verse 18, "All of these new things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and who gave us the ministry of reconciliation." In other words, God was reconciling the world to himself through Christ by not counting people's sins against them. He was trusting us with this message of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors who represent Christ. God is negotiating with you through us. We beg you, as Christ's representatives, be reconciled to God. God caused the one who didn't know sin to be sin for our sake, so that through him, we could become the righteousness of God. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, touch my lips, open our hearts, and transform our lives. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. When Alicia and I lived in England, we took one of our holidays and we drove all the way from Manchester, England, through Scotland up to Inverness. And it was a beautiful drive and journey through the Highlands, and it was a wonderful trip. And on our way home, we stopped at this wall. We actually were able to climb on top of it where we found it and walk on it for a little bit too. And it's kind of neat just because of how old this wall is. This is Hadrian's Wall, or also known as the Roman Wall. Emperor Hadrian built this wall around 122 AD. This wall spanned 73 miles across England. It was Rome's attempt to stop the Scots from invading. It was an announcement of the Roman imperial power and an attempt to mark the end of the civilized world and to start the barbarian world. Think of a lot smaller version of the wall from Game of Thrones. These walls are designed to keep people in or keep people out. Both the wall in Game of Thrones and also Hadrian's Wall didn't keep everything out. No walls stop everything. They all eventually break down or people learn to learn a work around them. The Berlin Wall came down. The Great Wall of China didn't hold everyone back. People still get over and around our own wall at our southern border. Peter Bevelin is quoted famously saying, "Show me a 10-foot wall and I'll show you an 11-foot ladder." These types of walls, they never really work like people hope. They keep people out for a little while, but eventually they turn into tourist attractions. But there's other walls out there. Your Facebook wall is full of notes to you and your thoughts as you're using that piece of social media. There's also systematic walls of injustice and oppression that keep people out. Those walls that look like a sign of just letters over a water fountain that spell "whites only." A wall could be used But the way or a wall could be the way a grandmother can shoot a look at her kids or her grandkids to let them know, let everyone know that a decision has been made and that's that. There can be a 10-story brick wall between a couple as they lie in bed. The unspoken hurt, the emotional pain, the unresolved conflict can feel like an impenetrable wall between them. I'll confess that there's a wall building between the United Methodist Church and the Global Methodist Church, and maybe it's just between us clergy. Because of the way some congregations and clergy have been leaving the denomination and trying to burn the place down as they go. I attended a meeting with some fellow clergy a couple weeks ago, and there was some palpable hurt and distrust that has grown. These walls of emotional pain, relational struggles, and systematic social structures are much, much harder to break down. There's no 11-foot ladder that can get you over hurt feelings of a couple as a relationship falls apart. There's no ladder that can get an oppressed group of people over the wall of their suffering. There isn't a ladder tall enough to get over these walls, but there is something that will make those walls smaller and eventually able to step over. It is the unrelenting grace of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God's grace can help heal a married couple who hasn't really talked in 2 years. God's grace can call a society to change ways and to bring leaders up to change the world around them and to stop the oppression and injustice. God's grace can heal denominations and their infighting. God's grace, God's unrelenting grace, can move any wall. In the second chapter of Bishop Carter's book, he brings up the topic of peace and peacemaking. He's referring to our relationships with God and with each other. He says, peace is a right relationship with God, and a right relationship with God always places us into a right relationship with each other. When we become a follower of God and we live into that sanctifying grace that I talked about last week, we have been that sanctifying grace that we've been offered, we are striving for perfection. This is one of the keys, the key things in our theology that makes United Methodism a little bit unique. We believe in perfection. Now, before you kind of check out, please hear me and let me explain. Bishop Will Willimon explains it this way. Wesley took seriously Jesus' invitation to be therefore perfect as your Father which is in heaven is perfect, which is the King James version of that text from Matthew that I read, where in the Common English Bible it translates it complete and not perfect. But by perfection, Wesley did not mean, as it says in UMC.org, moral flawlessness or sinlessness. He meant perfection in the sense of maturity. Wesley believed we could become perfect in love in this life. If Jesus invites us to seek perfection, perfect love is possible. He didn't mean that we would be free from mistakes, temptations, or failures. For Wesley, growing as a Christian is all about being filled with love, which happens by the grace of God. Christian perfection is living into sanctifying grace and being molded into the likeness of Jesus Christ. It is taking seriously the commands to love God and love our neighbor. If we can love God and love our neighbor perfectly, well then peace in our world will be all around us. There won't be walls up, whether real or metaphorical. Instead, peace will rule the world. In this chapter, Bishop Carter shares a story about his life, growing up in a mid-sized church in the Deep South. It was another denomination. It wasn't United Methodist. And his family attended this church every week, along with his grandparents. And during Bishop Carter's middle school years, his parents got a divorce. And a wall had been built up in their relationship, and the divorce was the only option they could see to get around it. And as word got out in their community about the divorce, a few women came up to the bishop's mother and told her it might be best if she found another church. Can you imagine? How would you feel if someone from a church that you attended for decades asked you to leave because of a divorce? I know people leave churches after a divorce because they can't imagine attending without their spouse, or it just seems very awkward. But I haven't heard of members walking up to someone and asking them to go somewhere else because they had a divorce. His family found another church after a friend invited them to attend their United Methodist Church. And here's how Bishop Carter describes this church. It didn't have beautiful music. It didn't have a large and enthusiastic youth ministry. It was tucked back in a neighborhood, and it didn't have a strategic and visible location. I can't remember any of the sermons. it did have what we most needed. It was a church of people with enough love to share with a new family, a somewhat broken and chaotic family. Peace doesn't come from kicking people out of your church whose lives have gotten messy. Peace doesn't arrive when we finally surround ourselves with people who all agree with us or live the same way we live in the world. Creating equilibrium doesn't mean things are at peace. The truth is we don't really know what real peace is. We think we do. We think peace is simply freedom from conflict or no one making a fuss. Things can seem like they're at peace, but in reality, it just means those who have a voice aren't using it or don't see the ones who aren't allowed to even share their own voice. Peace, true peace, is found in Jesus Christ. Peace is not a human achievement, as Bishop writes. Peace is a gift from God. There's an old joke about a United Methodist who dies and is getting a tour of heaven from St. Peter. St. Peter is showing him around, and the United Methodist sees all these people milling around with him. And he recognizes some of their faces, and he looks at St. Peter with a wondering look. And St. Peter goes, "Oh, yes, yes. There are United Methodists up here with you. And there's Presbyterians. And look over there, there's some Catholics as well." And the man then points to this huge building, which is rumbling with the sound of singing coming from the inside, and asks, "Well, what's that?" And St. Peter answers, "Those are the Baptists. We put them over there so they continue to think they're the only ones up here." Now, I joke. I love my Baptist brothers and sisters, but there are many people who look around our world and probably think they know who is getting into heaven and who isn't. The truth is, I am sure many of us will be surprised who is in heaven. But we also shouldn't really worry about that here on earth. Once we turn into the judge, we miss on an opportunity of God's peace for the world. For sanctification to come to completeness, we need to be willing to love all of our neighbors, not just the ones that we like. This means we have to learn to love everyone at Walmart or at the Panthers game. We have to learn to be in relationship with our neighbors because we are to be in relationship with God. Grace is what holds these relationships together. God is relationship because he is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Grace is found and defined in that divine relationship. We do not live in grace without being in relationship with others and in relationship for others. Our call as the body of Christ, our call and our work as the church, our discipleship calls us to open ourselves up to others in order to be the kingdom of God here and now. West End United Methodist Church in Nashville, Tennessee, held a class on this book, Unrelenting Grace. And I found it online, and so I was watching their class on this exact chapter, and I was intrigued by one of the questions the leader asked the class and those who were watching online. The question was, "Have you given up something you cherish to grow in God's grace?" A mic was passed around, and people answered, and some of their answers were okay. But I was blown away by one older gentleman's response. This is what he said. "I cherish the fact that I am right, or I may be right, or I may have invested long enough in knowing what is right to be able to speak for it. And so, giving that up to leave room for someone to have space to be different is difficult, and is where we trip up. We're going to find peace with our neighbors or even with our brothers and sisters in Christ in this contentious society, then we need to be willing to leave space for someone else to be different. This is one area I cherish about Milford Hills United Methodist Church. And I've said this before and I will continue to say it. This is one of the most diverse thinking congregations I've been a part of. I love the fact that we have different political views, but still come together to sing something beautiful. We have some whose families are whatever normal is, and others who are anything but. We have all types of people on the socioeconomic spectrum and those who have family on the spectrum. We are a diverse group of people who are willing to come together to live out our mission and to be a source of hope and goodness and grace in this community and world. If you need proof that we are doing this, if you want to see how we are changing lives through those little orange gourds that are all out in our front lawn, then please make plans to be in worship on October 29th as we lift up the work that Zoe and Power does in Kenya and the 96 lives that we help sponsor and are changing a half a world away. We do that because we are living out the grace of God. We're doing that because as we walk through these doors, you are seen as a child of God, as one made in God's image. You are loved. And with that love and grace comes a sense of peace. In Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he gives them a look at the work that is coming together. Hear those words again. It says, all these new things are from God, who reconciles us to himself through Christ and who gave us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, God was reconciling the world to himself through Christ by not counting people's sins against them. He has trusted us with this message of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors who represent Christ. God is negotiating with you through this. We beg you as Christ's representatives, be reconciled to God. God caused the one who didn't know sin to be sin for the sake, so that through him, we could become the righteousness of God. As we strive to love God and love our neighbor perfectly, we need to break down the walls around us by the acts of reconciliation. This starts with us being reconciled to God and then to one another. We do this not by kicking people out of our church, but recognizing the love that God has for them and offering the same love to them and everyone, inside the church and out. It is making space for the different in order for peace to come forth. The kingdom of God will not grow on earth as it is in heaven, inside an echo chamber or within a circle of wagons or in a specific sorority or fraternity. The kingdom of God grows when we welcome the people God offers grace to, which is everyone. Yes. To make room for others, the different, the least of these, will demand that we make room in ourselves to be changed by their presence. It will mean that we have to give up control, which is probably the hardest thing of all. But peace will come, and grace will shower the world when we realize the hard truth of God's salvation. Our salvation is bonded with the salvation of others. And so may we find peace living in this messy nature of God's grace because it truly involves everyone. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your grace for us. All of us in this room, all of us who are worshiping online, all of us who live in Salisbury, in North Carolina, in the United States, in the world, all of us are offered your grace, the same grace. May we truly live this out as we go through this week. May the love that we have for you and for our neighbor be seen in our daily lives and in our daily walk with you. May we offer your grace to everyone around us, because when we do, we will find peace. It is in your holy name we pray. Amen. Now, as a response to God's word, let us stand and profess what we believe, which is found in the Apostles' Creed. We say together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day,